unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, according to the ancient church, now we are celebrating and worshiping in the non-festival season of the church year. Accordingly, we speak of this particular Sunday as being the second Sunday after Trinity. During this non-festival portion of the church year, we will direct our attention to the subject of sanctification in the wider sense, which includes everything that the Holy Spirit does for us and he instructs us to live the Christian life. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul asks us as Christians, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you?" The Holy Spirit dwells in us through the Word of God recorded in Holy Scripture. God's Word is rooted and planted into our hearts and minds through our study of Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit then is dwelling in us, and he tells us how we as Christians ought to live. In this sinful world, full of arrogance and anger, hatred and hostility, bragging and bribery, we hear the voice of God calling clearly and loudly, "Be still and know that I am God." This is a fact. He is God, Jehovah, the Almighty One, and he is going to stay God. And he, of course, expects us to worship him as the only true God. Today, we turn our attention to the text in which God speaks regarding human relations. Our text is recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, you would refrain from helping it, you shall still help him with it. You shall not pervert judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Basically, this entire text that we have before us can be summarized with those few words, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In order to have a good social relationship with one another, the first requirement is that we exercise what I would call tongue control. Moses was commanded to write, "You shall not circulate a false report." We should be totally honest and above board in all of our dealings. Lying, slander, and deceiving, which is a lack of tongue control, disrupt and destroy our relationship with one another. There is so much lying and deceiving in every walk of life that we repeatedly ask, "Whom can you believe? And whom can you really trust?" Why is a dishonest tongue so evil? The Apostle James addresses the whole subject of tongue control with these words. He writes, "We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by forced winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. The lying and deceiving tongue is in the service of the devil." Remember the words of the Lord Jesus on one occasion. He told his Jewish audience, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own sources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil is the father of lies, and he has so many followers throughout the whole wide world. There are many liars in every walk of life, in the home, in business, in public positions and politics, and even in many so-called churches. Many in government positions throughout the whole world lie almost every time they open their mouth. And they're setting the world on fire with hatred, anger, and killing. Moses proceeds, "Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Don't walk hand in hand with those that do evil and give the impression that it doesn't really make any difference. We're all in agreement." Moses elaborates, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." Following the crowd to do evil reminds us of the many protesters who use profanity and filth and engage in fighting, killing, and destroying other people's property. In our beloved Constitution, we have this statement: if you have a grievance, then you have the right to peaceably assemble to petition the government to resolve the matter in a peaceable way, not by violent protesting. Often the violent protesting is led by people and encouraged by people who think they're really learned and wise. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." The Bible, or the apostle, is speaking and quoting the book of Job. And again, "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." And there he's quoting from the psalmist. There are many people who are educated ignoramuses. Do you want to be really wise? Do you really want to wise up? Then turn to God and to his word. Paul writes, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What's the only wise thing to do? Turn to God and to the wisdom revealed in His Word. Turn to the wisdom that is revealed especially in the gospel of God's many precious promises. God demonstrates His own love for us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Apostle Peter penned these words, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Where do we get our spiritual wisdom? From and within ourselves? No, from God, who so loved us that He sent His Son to suffer and die to redeem us and deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We believe in Jesus as the Son of God and our only Savior, who first loved us and gave Himself for us. And His Word helps us carry on good relationships with one another. For we love others as God has loved us. In order that we might have better social relations and live and be at peace with one another, the Lord through Moses warns us against being partial in all of our dealings with other people. Because that they are of a certain race or a certain nationality or have a certain standing in the community or for some other reason, whatever that might be. We are asked to be concerned about our neighbor's personal welfare and about his property, even if we do not regard him as being a friendly neighbor. We should still move to show our love for him. In fact, Moses refers to helping the person whom we wouldn't consider as being a friendly neighbor at all. This reminds us of the words of the Lord Jesus, which He spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. If people, especially the politicians, would spend as much time or more in prayer as they do at shouting at one another, what a peaceful society we would have. In all our dealings with other people, we should avoid what indeed is false and even what appears to be questionable. To the Thessalonians in his first letter, Paul wrote, "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all others, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is both good for yourselves and for all others. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." In the final words of our text, the Lord warns through Moses to beware of something that existed since sin came into the world and something that is very prominent today, practiced by many people, bribery. You shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the word of the righteous. Think of all of the corrupt things in business and in the political realm as a result of bribes being offered and received. And that blinds you to what is decent and right. It blinds people in their judgment and their decency. Bribery also perverts the words of the righteous. They don't know anymore how to speak what is right or wrong. And so in their blindness, they go from one sin to another. People lie and deceive to cover up all of their dishonest dealings. Finally, God through Moses reminded the children of Israel never to forget that they were once strangers in the land of Egypt. He always wanted them to remember how miserable life had become because they had forsaken the true God. But God, in his mercy, delivered them in many miraculous ways from all of that slavery, and he delivered his own people. Where is our comfort and our hope? Not in who we are, or what we are, or what we do, or what we don't do. Our comfort and hope is in this, what God has done to redeem us. In his great love, he sent his Son to be our Savior, who suffered, died, and rose again to redeem us, and who invites us and promises, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.